always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
The other one is apparently the Cavs, but the Cavs are obviously focused on LeBron James. And if LeBron goes back to Cleveland, then that possibility dries up, which would leave the Lakers, who don't have any free agent spending flexibility. All they have right now is a veteran minimum contract to offer. Not saying he's going to sign for the minimum. I'm just saying, like, in terms of ways that the Lakers could acquire Jonathan Kuminga without Atlanta's participation in Jonathan Kuminga going to the Lakers, you know, the only way that that can happen now, because the Lakers are now an above the cap team, is for Kuminga to just sign a veteran minimum contract, and then, you know, the Lakers would then have to like waive one of their other guys to open a roster spot to make that happen. That would also make it difficult, if not impossible, to also acquire Matisse Thybulle without just losing talent for nothing. So again, and also, by the way, Atlanta is up against it from a roster spot standpoint. Unless they would just acquire players for the sake of waiving them. But the Lakers, if they want to trade, say, Jaden Hardy and Dalton Knecht to Atlanta, plus, like, you know, second round draft compensation for Jonathan Kuminga at whatever contract they would be getting him for, now all of a sudden, like, Atlanta is like looking at that would have to make some, you know, roster crunch decisions. That means that, like, yeah, they would be trading for Jaden Hardy and trading for Dalton Knecht, and maybe even immediately waiving both of them, which, you know, you would probably have to compensate Atlanta for. So it's a tough spot. Like, the Lakers, according to reports, we're offering, you know, 2 years, $20 million to Kuminga. And one of the scenarios could have involved, from what I heard, this is secondhand, but still, they were getting ready to trade Ayton anyway. And one of the things that the Lakers could have done was sent Ayton, to Atlanta, and then paid Kuminga based off of the, sign and trade of Ayton to Atlanta. And the problem there was that, like, Kuminga's camp didn't like the 2 years, $20 million deal. And that those conversations kind of stalled out. Now, I don't know what kind, like, I'm not even positive the 2 year, $20 million deal is really even on the table if LeBron goes back to Cleveland. Cause if you're the Lakers, you're saying, what are your other options? We don't, if we can get you without giving up that second round draft compensation, and if, like, Cleveland doesn't have a spot for you, if Atlanta doesn't have a spot for you, if there aren't cap space teams that are interested in giving you a significant amount of money or a more significant amount of money than you could get from us, and by the way, you would be going to situations where you wouldn't be starting, like what are the options that Kuminga and his camp have at that time? So this is, I would anticipate we're going to get a fresh round of reporting and speculation in the coming days about this trade and its impact on Kuminga's market. But for the Lakers, they are now looking at a situation where it's like, We went into the last couple, you know, the last week or so, or this weekend, thinking, wait, is it Kuminga or bust for the Lakers? But now the reality might actually be, is it Lakers or bust for Kuminga? Like, what other situations are better than the Lakers can provide, even if it would be at a contract that he wouldn't necessarily like? So I think that, you know, today's trade was good for the Lakers from a basketball standpoint, in that a maybe the best team in the conference got worse, but it was also probably pretty good for the Lakers in that it took away a potential suitor for a player that they're interested in. So we will see what the actual ramifications to this might be, but at least theoretically, the Lakers' chances at landing Kuminga feel like they went up a little bit because of this Lu Dort to Atlanta trade. Also, as somebody pointed out earlier, it means that, you know, Lu Dort can't hurt. He won't have four opportunities every year to hurt Luka Doncic, which I'm pretty pumped about. All right, let's dive into some of your guys' questions and comments here. We did get a super comment, which means we get to play the most important sound on the show. Fuck Washington! Always. All right, so Regulation writes, with ownership changes, could Lakers employees return to pods, i.e. Aaron Larsoul, Mike Trudell, always enjoyed their insights? Mike is tricky because, like, even though the Lakers might not be paying him directly next year, there is that relationship that the Lakers and Spectrum have, and the Lakers are always going to be very aware of the things that Mike Trudell says on any airwaves. I don't know if you guys have noticed this already, but he's been doing, I think he and Geeter are now hosts of the ESPN LA's like Lakers show. And so like that would indicate that Trudell probably has a little bit more flexibility to do more pods and stuff like that. So I would guess that he'll start making a return to more podcasts and stuff like that. As far as Aaron goes, I do want to have him on more frequently. And the only thing with Aaron is because of his relationship with the Lakers, as it stands right now, he has to be kind of careful about like talking about players on other teams or speculating about players who the Lakers might be interested in. So I always kind of wait for the offseason to shake out altogether before I start bringing him in. And then when we get to like the actual season and stuff like that, I could bring him on more frequently to talk about the actual basketball being played. But then again, like once we get closer to the transaction cycles and as speculation goes up about players that the Lakers might be interested in stuff like that, then I have to be kind of careful about bringing him on because he has to be really careful about players that he can or cannot talk about, because of his links back to the Lakers. So those are somewhat different, but yeah. I think I said this either on Locked On Lakers or on my show, but the Lakers have made pretty sweeping changes to Lakers Digital. So I do think some of those relationships are going to change. And I do think some of those opportunities to hear some of those voices that you guys like that have been a little bit more under wraps under Jeannie Buss will be more readily available on more platforms than before. So yeah, I would anticipate True will make a few appearances on this show. I always like bringing him on during Viking season so that we can kind of talk about them as well as the Lakers. And then Aaron will be on more frequently moving forward. But that was something that he and I are always talking about. All right. Do we have any more super comments? Oh, we did. Greenlight Transport 8320 writes, Lou was always hurting Luka. Luka will now cook OKC. Yeah, I think OKC is going to miss Dort more than it is believed right now. I mean, between Dort and Wiggins and Isaiah Joe, those are three good defenders who could also hit threes. And losing three of those players in a single offseason is difficult, even for front offices as capable as Oklahoma City. So That one is going to sting a little bit. And Dort specifically against the Lakers, like, OKC's defenders are all kind of smaller, quicker, aggressive, like hand checkers and stuff like that. But like outside of Caruso, they can be moved a little bit. Dort was the, like, easily the strongest defender that they had, not like the, you know, like physically strongest, like, and with Luka specifically, because Dort won't be there next year, Luka could at least theoretically spend a little bit more time in the pinch post or the actual post next year. This is part of why I'm like continually annoyed that the relationship between LeBron and the Lakers had soured to the point that it did, because not having Lou Dort to deal with LeBron in the post, like, that's going to be tough for Oklahoma City. So, I do think though that, like, Dort specifically, you know, not being there, and, you know, OKC not having him specifically for the Luka matchup, like, that I'm excited from the standpoint that, like, he, because I consider him a dirty player, and him not being there to throw those cheap shots is great. But on top of that, like, I'm really excited that, you know, Luka, for you know, against basically the vast majority of OKC's team, can kind of get to his spots just by going through a lot of their defenders' chests, and I think that is gonna come in handy for the Lakers, and not having Dort makes that a lot easier for Luka specifically. So that's a good, that, like, again, say what you will about the second rounders that they got or the draft compensation that they got, whatever. Like, it is impressive that Sam Presti was able to get something for those guys. Whenever we talk about the Lakers having to shed salary, it's like, oh, what's it going to cost for Rob Pelinka to get off of Vando's contract and stuff. And end of the day, you know, it is impressive that Presti was able to get something for guys that everybody knew had to be traded anyway. But in terms of the basketball, like, OKC is a worse basketball team after this summer than they were going into the summer. And that's good. That's a good thing for everybody rooting for other teams other than OKC. Let's see. The next question here comes, I'm going to go scroll up to the top here and see if you guys have any questions up top. Yeah, right. Like, JP248, ha ha ha. Brad Stevens got an award for making the Celtics worse. Yeah. And it would be hilarious. It would be just so thoroughly NBA if Presti got the award for making them worse, too. Clever Pugilist, I think is how you're saying it. Exactly, and why would Dallas send PJ Washington to the Lakers? Dallas owns LA's 2029 first round pick. That's a factor too. The reason they, like, all right, I started this show talking about how unlikely it is that teams would help the Lakers, or how teams will go to any lengths to make it so that they aren't helping anybody in the West, but I think also very specifically the Lakers. And, you know, it was funny because earlier this summer, there was those conversations about PJ Washington. Kobe Price had that report about the Lakers, you know, not being as enthused about PJ Washington. And I was talking to some people there in Vegas, and they were like, it's not that the Lakers aren't interested in PJ Washington. They would love to have PJ Washington. They just don't have the stuff to trade for PJ Washington. So, Clever Pugilist, you're asking this question about, like, why would the Mavs send Washington to the Lakers? It's like, it's a moot point whether or not Dallas wants to help the Lakers, because end of the day, the Lakers just don't have enough in their draft cash or in terms of assets to send for PJ Washington. And, you know, maybe that changes over the course of the season. If he struggles, if it's clear that he is just not a part of Dallas's plans, like maybe, you know, that price comes down. But yeah, end of the day, like you're talking about a very, very useful player in PJ Washington, somebody that organizationally the Mavericks like quite a bit, somebody who has had success with Luka Doncic. Of course, the Lakers are interested in him. However, they just don't have enough to trade for him. So it's not a matter of like Dallas would never help the Lakers, which is also true. It's more a matter of the Lakers just don't have enough to even start those conversations. Let's see. We'll do one more question and I will get up out of here because I'm already skipping a World Cup party to be on the air. So this is an interesting one. Tingo Kuman, I think is how you're saying you're at. Adu may be better than Kuminga within a year. So I've been seeing this, like I kind of joked about this with Pete on the air or on the show on Friday, you know, like that whole, are we sure the Lakers just aren't better off just developing Adu? And I like Adu Thiero. I like his future. I like his work ethic. Love his athleticism. I think he has immense potential because of that athleticism, because of that crazy motor that he has. However, any notion of like, I mean, like, really, do the Lakers need Jonathan Kuminga based only on Adu Thiero? I just can't get myself to. Now, that's not necessarily what Tingo was saying here. In that, you know, he's saying Adu might be better than Kuminga within a year. I don't see it because I don't think Adu's shot is going to go far enough to get that much better. But what I will say though is you know, when you have a Kuminga in your organization, it does provide kind of a built-in excuse not to focus on Adu's development to the extent that maybe you should. So I get it. I think it's a little cope-ish, but yeah, at the end of the day, you know, I think just from a raw talent standpoint, the Lakers need more talent, specifically at the wing. And Kuminga, especially given how the situation is playing out and given the way his options are kind of dwindling, I think we're going to get to a point where it's like the price on Kuminga is so low, it would be ridiculous not to be interested. All right, we did get a super comment here while I've been talking, and let's just make sure I didn't miss another one up there. Okay, cool. Amon Breyer, 1992, writes, Anthony, with no teams in the second apron, do you think Denver re-signs Watson or lets him go? So I don't think Denver can get to the second apron. I don't think that's even really a concern here. Their concern is luxury tax payments, and you know, Stan Kroenke and the Kroenke family is just really cheap. So I don't think it's really even a matter of like that they're concerned about the second apron. The way I see this playing out, and I think what Denver is kind of doing here is, like, we just saw this with Musa Cisse from Dallas, where the Knicks were like, maybe they aren't paying attention, and they made a restricted free agent offer to Cisse, but it was only for the veteran minimum, and like Dallas is like, that's probably less than we thought we were going to have to pay this guy. Perfect. And they signed, and they just matched the offer really quickly. And I think Denver is probably looking at this Peyton Watson situation because of the lack of cap space out there. And they're kind of like, you know, maybe somebody will make an offer that is so low that we're like fortunate to like, we would be excited about matching that offer. I think Watson's camp is going to be very patient on this front. I think he is like, I always saw him kind of lumped in with like Tari Eason going into restricted free agency. And I just like Watson a hell of a lot more than Tari Eason. So I think he should get paid more than Eason got, but Eason also wasn't pumped about his contract. And you knew that Eason wasn't pumped about his contract because Shams, when he reported the contract number, didn't mention Tari Eason's agent. I don't think Tari Eason's agent wanted his name anywhere near that number. So like maybe that's how it plays out for Peyton Watson. Restricted free agency is a farce, first and foremost. But it also is just not very kind to those restricted free agents. So I think Watson eventually winds up back in Denver. I think Christian Brown goes somewhere to the Eastern Conference as a result of Peyton Watson's deal. And the Nuggets wind up avoiding paying luxury taxes yet again. They have to get ready for Nikola Jokic's next contract, which is going to be insane. And because of that, like they are already kind of budgeting ahead in advance and in preparation for that next contract. And I think Christian Brown is going to wind up being the cap casualty there. Which again, if he goes east and the Nuggets get worse, that's a good thing for the Lakers. All right, I am going to go ahead and get up out of here. The first half just ended. This is perfect timing. Look how well that worked out. I am going to, as far as like this week goes, obviously I'm going to jump on for breaking news. I do still have a mailbag to catch up on. Harrison is going to be on the show at some point this week. And, you know, like this is probably going to be one of the last like full weeks of shows that we're going to have, because I have a trip back home coming up, not this week, but the next one. And then like we get into the part of the summer where there's just not enough to talk about to do a show every day. But this is probably going to be your, like, you know, this is going to be a full week's worth of shows to look ahead to. We do have LeBron watch to continue with. We do have Kuminga watch to continue with. And hopefully by the end of the week, we'll have a pretty good understanding of what the Lakers' final roster is going to look like. So until then, and until the next time you guys hear from me, please hit that like button. Please subscribe here to the channel. Please use that promo code HMA on Prize Picks. Subscribe to the show on in its podcast form if that's how you guys are listening. Have a great rest of your weekend. Enjoy the second half of this year game. And I will talk to you guys tomorrow.